morning. It's good to be here and enjoyed the service so far and what was said, the thoughts that were shared in Sunday school, and keeps my mind going. And it's good to hear the thoughts and ideas from the brothers here. And this morning, I've been thinking about this idea a little bit in my own life especially, and it has to do with need and asking ourselves the question, are we needy? Are we needy people? I'd like to, sort of a theme verse, read Philippians 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And I'd like to talk this morning about cultivating a need for God in your life. And I'd like you to ask yourself this question. Do you need God? Do I need God? And then, along with that, why? It's a simple question and, you know, pretty basic. But I think sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves that. Why do I need God? Do I need God? Is it true that I need him? And if so, why would I say that I need him? And I've been thinking about this in my own life because there's times when I look at my life and I say, you know, why do I feel that I don't need God like I ought to? There's times when I recognize that there's not a need for God in my life like there ought to be. And I want to have a need for God always. And I'd like to encourage you with that as well. Maybe I'll just start at the most basic needs that we have to get you sort of on board with this idea of needing God. Thinking about it physically, for example. You know, most of us think we're pretty capable of taking care of ourselves. We do just fine on our own. We can survive. And but, you know, as I got to thinking about this, I thought about a baby. And, you know, is there ever such a helpless creature? Very few other animals, creatures, are as helpless as a human baby. You know, without the most careful, attentive care, they will die. They have to have their food prepared exactly right. They can't move off the spot. We think it's a wonderful thing when they can finally roll over. And they have to be clean. They have to be dressed. They have to be carried everywhere. And their life seems really fragile at times. And we really watch out for them. You know, maybe the only thing that we think is really well developed in a baby is their vocal cords. They can really make noise. So, but, you know, to really take care of themselves, a baby is very helpless. Physically, they need their mother and father. They need somebody to take care of them. But, you know, as soon as we grow out of that stage of our lives, all of us have a tendency to think, I've got it, I'm self-sufficient, I can take care of myself, and, you know, I can survive. I don't need anything. I don't need other people. I don't need God, even. But when you really stop and think about it as an adult, take away a few things, and we are doomed as well. And I'd like to look at, you know, take away the rain, we're going to die. The many simple things that go back to what God is providing for us, if we don't have them, we're just as helpless as that baby, really, without the provision that God makes every day in our life for just the physical things, rain, sunshine, food, all those things that we have. And, you know, we just forget that we owe that all to what the Lord is doing every day and upholding the universe. I had to ask myself, too, imagine that God suspended his physical laws. You know, the scientists, they study nature, and they know that they can predict certain things based on what happens in the laws of nature. And but suppose God suspended those laws, or just suspended one of them. For example, suppose he suspended the law of gravity. Just, you know, for just an hour, there was no law of gravity. What would happen? I can't imagine the chaos that would happen. You know, cars would go down the road and they'd hit a bump and fly off into space. And, you know, the furniture in your house would float around and out the window. And, you know, it would just be a disaster. So God upholds us physically. He supplies the needs that we don't even sometimes acknowledge that we have. He supplies those needs. But more more than that, greater than all that, is the very deep need that we have spiritually, each of us. And just like the chaos that would happen if God did not hold us and provide for us physically, so that would also be the dreadful darkness and death that would be ours spiritually if God was not our provider that way as well. I'd like to read Ephesians, some verses in Ephesians 2 here, to point out our condition without God. So Ephesians 2, and starting at verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So in verse 1 there, and also in verse 5, it talks about being quickened. He made us alive. You know, is there any less hopeful of a position than being dead? That's the ultimate in hopelessness. And then in verse 12 of the same chapter, he sort of repeats this idea. He says, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You know, the life without Christ spiritually, it is death. It is hopeless. And then another verse in Romans 6, verse 17 says, and I'm going to read this in the NIV, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance." So here we have death, no hope, slaves. And that is our condition without God. So we need God. We desperately need God spiritually in our lives. There's no hope if you're dead. There's no hope as a slave. And we were that way. We were dead spiritually, but we're made alive. And you know, in man's book, those are all hopeless conditions, but not in God's book. In God's power, those that are dead in sin can be made alive. So without God, we are desperately, we're in terrible trouble. There's no hope. But praise the Lord, he brought us what we needed. And I'd like to talk about needing God. You know, of course we need God's salvation, but we also need his presence every day in our lives. And I think that's something that's easy to forget, as the many things, like was mentioned earlier today, the many things that can distract us from what God wants to do, and that help us to forget what God wants to do in our lives. You know, all of us feel a need, I think, to a certain point in our lives. And many people in the world, and many of us maybe, sometimes seek our satisfaction, the answer to our need, the fulfillment to our need, in something other than God, in whatever it is, pleasure, whether it's money or sports or fame or whatever it might be. And, you know, I had to think of this sad story that was in the news this week that took the whole United States and probably a lot of the world by surprise, and that was the suicide of a famous actor, Robin Williams. And this man is known for his wit. He was funny. He made people laugh. He made movies, and people thought they got a great deal of happiness, supposedly, out of his wit. And there's no doubt that he had a talent for that. But you know, this man had a problem with depression, and eventually he committed suicide. And I had to think, you know, there's no ultimate satisfaction. There's no ultimate hope in what Hollywood has to offer. There's no hope in being funny. There's no happiness. And it doesn't fill that need. It doesn't fill that need that only God can fill. So Hollywood doesn't have it either. And I don't think we can imagine the despair and unhappiness and emptiness in places like that where people seek and think they have it and think they have it and think they have it, but it's never there. It's not lasting. There's no lasting satisfaction in the sex, drugs, money, fame, sports that the world seeks after. It just doesn't satisfy. And worldly pleasures don't have it. You know, I think of Solomon. He's an example of this in Ecclesiastes. He wrote his many, many, many experiences in life and how he sought this and sought that and he got it. And he thought, you know, I have it now. But no, in the end, he said, you know, it's all vanity. It doesn't last. These verses in Psalms were real inspiration to me. It says in Psalm 145, verse 14, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." You know, it's hard to fathom one being satisfying the desire of everything on the earth, but that's what God can do. He satisfies every desire of us, of all his creatures that he created. He satisfies those desires. There's no true satisfaction outside of God. Another passage in Isaiah 25, verse 1, it says, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city, a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." So God is all these things. He satisfies the needs of people. So God can meet and satisfy the need of any person on earth. And we heard about that last Sunday a little bit about Jesus satisfying the needs of the people he met. But the question is, can God satisfy the need of someone who doesn't feel a need? And this is where it can apply to our own hearts. Can God satisfy your need of him if you don't feel that need or if you don't acknowledge it? The verse I read in the beginning there, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There it is. God can supply it. But will he supply? Is he going to supply your needs if you don't acknowledge your need? Another point of view is in Revelation, and we all know about the passage about the church of Laodicea. And he says this about the church there. He says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So the church at Laodicea proves the point that if we don't acknowledge our need for God, if we feel we have no need, then we're going to miss it. He's not going to supply those needs. He doesn't supply the needs of those who don't acknowledge that they need him. So we as people need to acknowledge that, yes, we need God, not just to be saved, but we need him every day of our lives. We need him every day. The Laodiceans felt that they had no need. They were blinded by their own self-sufficiency, you might say. And God couldn't help them when they had that attitude. God couldn't help them. He couldn't help them until they put away their self-sufficiency and said, "We need God. We need you every day." You won't grow and you won't grow closer to the Lord. You will only drift away from him if you don't have a need for him. If you keep looking for your satisfaction elsewhere in what the world has to offer, God won't supply your needs. When you seek your fulfillment in whatever is out there, whether it's something on the internet or some of the latest gadget or something, seeking the most riches or the best job, you know, God can't supply your needs if you're not seeking them from him. So we need to cultivate a spirit of need, I think, before God. And, you know, we don't have to pretend that we need anything. We can see very plainly that we are very needy. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And, you know, this is a needy attitude before God. I think we need to have that attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do we have a spirit of poorness or neediness as we look at our lives? And as we go from day to day, do we realize, yeah, you know, I can't face what I face every day on my own. I have needs. I need help. The thing is that we often see our need for God when, you know, when the time really gets hard, when something really comes that really we need him for desperately, then we all of a sudden recognize, oh yes, I need God. I have facing this decision in my life, and I don't know what to do. I need God today. But you know, that's a little bit late to be asking for God's help. I'm not saying he's not going to help you, but we should be in a spirit of that our whole life. We should have that spirit throughout our lives, because every day we face little decisions that can change the direction of our lives. Every day we face little temptations that might lead us somewhere else gradually. It's not just the big ones that are going to take us away from God. It's the little ones that will gradually take us away. And we need him during all of those times. We may call them crucial. We may not think they're so crucial. But every decision we make for or against God is a crucial decision. Every temptation we face is crucial. I just wrote down three specific things, specific areas that I think we especially need God. And, you know, these are crucial points in our life, but I think it brings out the point that we need him every day, because we're going to face these periodically in our lives, and we need to be ready before they come. So first off, we need God in times of trial. And, you know, where else are we going to find meaning or joy in trial? It's only through Christ. Only through him can we become a better person. Only through the trial that we have the Lord by our side. We need him in times of temptation. You know, if you don't have God, if you don't have the Lord alongside of you during temptation, when you face the temptation that comes up, you're going to fall. It's going to be a failure. Are you going to be okay with facing temptation and asking God at the last minute, oh yes, I need your help, Lord, in the last hour of temptation? Are we going to be okay facing it, having not asked God, having not had him near us before? And also, we need God in times of decision. You know, our human understanding of things is limited, and we need discernment. We need to know what the answer is, whether it's good or bad. We need to know which choice is wiser, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have that help. So we need God in times of decision. You know, a couple other things I had to think of. What about the future? This also brings out our need of God. What about the future? How are you going to face the future? What is going to happen in your future? We don't know those things. But we do know that we can hold on to one who has all of that in his hand. We don't have to know what the future holds. We can hold on to the one that knows the future. What about the past? Are you comfortable justifying or forgetting about the sins of the past? Do you have a foolproof way to erase those sins from your life? We don't. We need God to forgive our sins. We need God to give us a clean slate. We need to have him so that we have peace to know that we are forgiven, that he has taken those away from us. So when you're tempted to become satisfied in yourself, and me too, ask another question. What have I done to deserve what God has done for me? You know, this is a sobering question. What have I done? Is there something I can do that gives me the right or helps me to earn or deserve salvation? There's not. There's nothing I can do. And suppose that God had not decided to bring salvation to you. Suppose he had not decided to send Jesus to the earth to die on the cross. Where would you be then? Another question that often comes to my mind is, and this is more physical, but for what reason was I born into this wealthy nation? Why am I in the top, you know, 5% of the world in terms of wealth? I've been born in a place where we have many opportunities, where I have no fear of persecution, and I have to think of the Christians that we see in the news this week in Iraq and other places. You know, I could have been born there. There was no, you know, it was nothing that I did. It was only the Lord's that put me here, and I need to be thankful for what I have, and also to remember that I still need him. I need him just as badly as ever. I need him just as badly as those people in Iraq do. Their needs may look more desperate, but I need him just as badly. So we all have to admit that we're not here. We're not. Our successes are not really due to our own skill and planning, because there are many other people in the world that are skillful, that are smart, that have talents, and but they're in bad shape. They're starving. They're persecuted, and so on. But God, he supplies what we need. God supplies our needs. I recently read a biography of George Mueller. I don't know how many of you have read that, but he's a very interesting man. He started a bunch of orphanages, and he was poor. He had no money. He was a preacher, and he didn't believe in asking people for money. And he made needs known, but he wouldn't ask them for money specifically. And many, many times throughout his life, as he was starting these orphanages, he didn't know where he was going to get the next meal, but he would ask the Lord to supply their needs. If the Lord supplied the need to a certain level, he would say, we're going to start an orphanage. And when that money came in, he would start the orphanage. And many times, they lived day to day waiting for the next money for their next meal. And in one specific situation, they were all ready. The orphanage children were all ready. The day had started, but they didn't have any breakfast. They didn't have any food to go buy breakfast. So he asked the person in charge to go ahead and bring the children to the table. I think it was all boys, I'm not sure. Bring them to the table, and they would pray for their food. So they did. They came, and they prayed for their food. And they just finished. And a man came in and said, you know, last night I just had this feeling. He was a baker. I had this feeling that the Lord told me I need to make some food for the bakery. He said, I made a whole bunch of bread, and here it is. So they had bread. And very shortly later, a man knocked on the door and said, look, my milk cart broke down right outside your door, and by the time I get this wheel fixed, all the milk's going to be spoiled. So do you want this milk? And sure enough, there's enough milk for all of the children. And you know, this happened over and over again in this man's life, and I'm not suggesting that you need to live that way necessarily, but it does bring out the point that God is able to supply every need, and we often look at our physical needs, and we don't acknowledge that God is supplying those in a different way than in the way that he supplied it for George Mueller. We should acknowledge that when God supplies our needs, our physical needs for food and clothes, he's still supplying it for us. Whether we think that it's because we went to work and got the money to do it or not, he's still the ultimate provider. He gave us the strength to do the work. He gave us the ability to make money and so on. So the Lord is our provider either way. George Mueller said, if the Lord fails me at this time, it will be the first time. And you know, he could have said that many times, because many times he was on the verge of totally running out of something, not having enough to provide, and the Lord provided for them. So I'll ask you again, are you a needy person? Do you acknowledge that your soul, that you need God every day? You know, the church there at Laodicea, they had lots of things. They were rich. They had all their needs met, or so they thought. But the Lord saw something different. The Laodiceans saw themselves as rich, fine clothes, lots of food, a big bank account. And the Lord saw them as beggars who didn't have clothes, who couldn't even see, who were blind, and were totally helpless. You know, we need to look at our own lives in that manner too, and realize that we have great needs in our life. That we have great. There are great obstacles in our life that we aren't going to be able to handle on our own. And keep that in our minds every day as we face life. The real riches of life are not the physical things. And I'd like to look a little bit at what Jesus told the church at Laodicea. He said, in the next verse, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know, he told the Laodiceans three things that they need that they didn't have. that they couldn't see because they didn't have a need of God in their lives. He told them they need gold tried in the fire, and I just wanted to point out a few things here. This speaks about faithfully enduring trials. Are we willing to face the trials that God brings our way and allow Him to make us better through them? The endurance of these trials is really true riches. This is the way to true riches, to laying up treasure in heaven. Oftentimes we don't want to deal with them. They make us uncomfortable, but you know, the Christian life isn't comfortable. It's not meant to be comfortable. White raiment, I think, speaks of righteousness. Are we willing to stand out from the world around us and do God's work? We're going to look a little strange. We're going to stand out as different, but we are Christ's ambassador to the world. And our white raiment should stand out. The things that we do should stand out. They should be different. They should be Christ-like. And also ISAV, and I think maybe this speaks of seeing, discerning. And Ted talked about this a little bit. We need discernment. We need the Holy Spirit to help us see what is wrong, what is right, what is wise in our lives. Ted talked about the acceptable will of God, the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. You know, we need ISAV as discernment. I had to think about the soldier today. They have this technology called night vision. I'm sure many of you have read about it. But with night vision, a soldier can maneuver in the darkness, and he can see the enemy and identify them, even though it's pitch black. And he can move around and not, you know, be limited in his movement. You know, as Christians, we need that night vision because the world around us is dark, and things are wicked. But we need to have the vision, the Holy Spirit's vision, to help us see what's wrong, what's right, to help us make a wise choice, even when the choices are small, to help us to realize where we need to go, where we need to change, how we need to be different, and not to diminish sin, but to see sin as what it is and to acknowledge it. So in closing, we don't want to be people that just need God once, and that's to be saved, and then forget about Him. We want to be people that need God every day. You know, sometimes our head says, oh yes, I need God every day, but then we live like we don't need Him. And I had to think of that song. I'd like to sing that song in closing, too. Before that, I'd like to read this one passage in Psalm 63. David talks a lot about finding your satisfaction in God, and it's a real encouragement to see how David writes about being satisfied with God. In Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. So we need to have a sense of need in our lives and also realize that only God can satisfy those needs. Could we sing that song? I think it's 837. In the Faith and Praise. Maybe we could sing first, third, and last there. Ryan, could you lead that?